Turn in your Bibles, Mark chapter 4. I want to talk to you about something you may have heard before, but maybe not in this light. Mustard seed faith. I'm going to tie it into the grace of God. And something very powerful the Lord showed me, because we're all in the middle of this series of grace right now on what grace is. A lot of people preaching on grace. Grace has everything to do with your revelation of God. The level of grace you'll receive is your level of revelation of God. Some people see grace as something that just gets them by or covers their shortcomings or faults, but grace is a whole lot more than that. Grace is the holy grail of the kingdom of God, and it's awesome. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So just whatever you've heard on mustard seed faith, I'm just going to ask you to stick that on the shelf today until we're through, and then you can decide which one you'd like on your shelf after that. Amen. Glory to God. We'll look at Mark chapter 4, verse 30. Now, Mark chapter 4, he talked about the entire operation of the Word of God. We'll look into that a little bit. Now, last week, we spoke about Mary, the dynamics of birthing the kingdom of God. And when God came to Mary, the first thing he did is he announced his promise. He announced the promises of the Lord first. The angel Gabriel showed up and announced the promise of the Lord. God is always, always, when he gets ready to do something, he's going to send his word. Amen. God will send his word first, just like that. He did with Mary. But then she said, be unto me according to thy word. She received that word, but it took the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit to administer grace to that word to release. So there's really a double conception. The first conception was the word of God. The second conception is when the Holy Ghost overshadowed her and caused her to conceive. And that's what we're looking for, the double conception. How many of you are carrying a promise? Raise your hand. You're carrying a living promise. Look at those hands out there. Hallelujah. How many of you got a promise unfulfilled? Raise your hand. Well, you're in a good place today. Praise God. Glory to God. We've been carrying some promises for a long time. You know, you can carry promises for 30, 40, 50 years. I want to see the manifestation of God. And to do that, we're going to have to understand God. But there is a great revelation today we're going to share with you. So Mark chapter 40, verse 30, he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? He said, it's like the grain of a mustard seed. I've never seen a mustard seed grain. It's about the size of a pinhead. Very, very small. Said it's like the grain of a mustard seed, but when it's sown in the earth. See, when you got to meditate, you have to pay attention about every little word there. And I'll show you what I mean here in a minute. It's less than all the seeds that be in the earth. So when he chose to teach on kingdom faith, he used the smallest of the herbs or the smallest of seeds that are in the herbs of a garden. And he said, it's less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up. Say, it groweth up. And become greater than all the herbs. And shooteth out great branches. And the fowls of the air lodge under the shadow of it. I'm going to give you a couple of facts about the mustard seed faith before I get into this today. Mustard seed plant, herb, whatever you want to call it, tree. One of the incredible things about this particular plant is it's seed time and harvest. The seed time and harvest of time, you plant this seed 45 to 60 days, it's already into a fruit or a mustard seed bearing plant. That's pretty awesome. That means you're going to get some serious, serious turnover. Now, most people, when they preach on something like this, they go straight to an offering with this. But today, I'm going to go somewhere else with this. Amen? And one of the things it talks about a mustard seed, when you plant this, it overtakes. Everywhere it's planted, it'll overtake the entire garden. That's good where we're concerned. Everyone say, that's good. It'll overtake that garden wherever it's planted. It's not going to take 9 months like the woman that's pregnant. 45 to 60 days, bam. He chose that for a reason. Because once we understand the operation of the kingdom of God, once we engage this operation, once we understand our part in this operation, we're going to begin seeing the turnover of birth of the kingdom of God. We're going to see the flow, the demonstration of the kingdom. Amen? Now, one of the things he said about mustard seed faith, I want you to go to Matthew 17 for a minute. Matthew 17, verse 20. It says, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, as they asked him why they couldn't get that boy healed. He said, because of your unbelief. He said, verily I say unto you, if you had faith as the grain of a mustard seed. So here he is talking about the mustard seed again. You to say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible. Now notice what he said. If you had faith the size of the grain of the mustard seed, to have great faith with God, we don't even need to have faith of the size of the thing we're believing God for. He never said you had to have faith the size of the mustard plant or whatever it is you're believing God for. We're believing God for a revival, a full-blown revival in the city of Houston. Have been for a long time. Sometimes it kind of weighs on you. You say, how can these things be? Because we think we have to have faith for the whole revival, which we do not. If we understand how the kingdom of God works, all we have to have faith for is the seed. Amen? Now, one of the things the Lord said to me was, he said, there are three principal operations in mustard seed faith. Now I'm going to call it the deep at the noise of the water spout here. Y'all ready? There's a sower. There's a seed. And there's ground. Is that deep or what? There's a sower. There's a seed. And there is ground. One of the big problems we have with our faith is we don't understand which one of those we are. You are not all of that. Anybody ever got that revelation? In the kingdom of God, you're not all that. But sometimes we feel like we have to do all of that. When we get into a situation that's beyond our control, we get a situation in business, our ministry, our family, we feel the responsibility like we have to do all of that. We gotta move God, and we have to take the whole burden of this. And the reality of it, you're one third of that process. That's it. If you take the whole responsibility, you'll probably get unanswered prayer. Because you will stand in the place that you're not supposed to be standing in. My, that's pretty good. Sometime that'll take you 25 years to realize that. Because sometimes we stand right in front of God. Sometimes we're trying to do his job. We're trying to do sower's job, the seed's job, and the ground's job. All of them. And the reality, if we're going to become effective in the kingdom of God, we're going to have to realize, who are we? What are we? It's pretty amazing. Out of dust we were made, and dust we still are. What do you mean by that? Now, I'm not talking about financial sowing like in an offering here, because he's talking about faith in Mark chapter 4. Go back to Mark chapter 4 for a minute. He's talking about faith, because if you back up to the laws of meditation, he's going to tell you who the sower is, he's going to tell you who the seed is, and he's going to tell you who you are. Faith that a sower exercises is different than faith that the ground exercises. It's different than faith that the seed exercises. They all exercise faith individually, separately, from a different perspective. And until we understand who we are, which part we play, we don't understand the perspective of faith. Amen. Now, if you back up in Mark chapter 4, verse 13, watch what he says. Now, we already quoted verse 30, laws of meditation. He was feeding down from this chapter. Now look at verse 13. He said unto them, know you not this parable? How then will you know all parables? How are you going to understand how the kingdom works if you don't understand this parable? It's the parable of the sower soweth the what? Verse 14, he said, the sower soweth the word. Which one of those are you? So the sower is the Father sowing the word, which is Christ, sowing it in the form of rhema, living word, sowing in the form of logos, written word, sowing it in the form of vision, destiny, because when God gets ready to do something, what does he do? He sends his word. Before the kingdom arrives somewhere, he sends the word into who? The heart, right? That's me. In this case, in this parable, he sowed the word, which was a seed sown into what? The ground. Now look at verse 30 for a minute here. One more time. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? What comparison? Now, he's still talking about the operation of the word. He was talking about there upwards in that chapter we just quoted. He said, what comparison shall we compare it? He's like the grain of a mustard seed. What's the seed? The seed is what? Well, it's actually two things, but right now it's the word. And it's like the grain of mustard seed that when it is what? Sown? Where? Into the earth. Who is the earth? I've just now identified who I am. From dust I came and I'm still dust. You, it's just crucially important about what I'm about to say here, that you understand when we're exercising faith, we do not exercise faith for the whole, we exercise faith for the seed, but we must exercise faith in the part that we actually are. I am not a sower in this sense. He's the sower. He's the one that sowed the promise. The promise is a living seed or a living word. He sows it as a seed. I don't have a full-blown revival. Some of the, you see, might be something pertains to your family. Something pertains to business. Something pertains to your ministry. Something pertains what you're called to do. Whatever your seed is, how many of you are carrying a living promise? Raise your hand one more time. Then he has sowed something in you. What is your part? You are the ground. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency may be of God and not man. Now, why is that important? Because if I can identify which part I play, then I can identify how to exercise faith. If I'm exercising faith to be the sower and the seed and the ground, I'm all over the place. When the fact is, I'm one third of this process and one third only. I am not the seed. Do you know when God sowed that promise in you? Do you know that he sowed that promise to you in faith? How many of you have a promise? Raise your hand one more time. Now listen to this. When he gave you that promise, he was not guaranteed a harvest. You know, a lot of people, they die with the promises of God locked up inside them. Never fulfilled it. Never gave themselves to God's process. Carried a promise unfulfilled. Has to go to somebody else. God has to take it and resow it. He is looking for a garden. Really hadn't changed the dimension very much since the original creation of man. We were called to tend the garden. He just stuck the garden up inside us. But he's still planting the kingdom. He's just planting it where? In us. Now he sent his word. He sent his promise here into our garden. Now, if I'm going to try to be the sower and the seed and the garden all at the same time, I am going to have mismanaged faith. I'm going to be trying to do something and only God can do. You know, the marvelous thing about a seed, within a seed is locked within it the full programming of what it's called to be. The seed brings forth of itself. When you see a big tree, that started with a seed. That tree, I don't know how a little brown seed can create a tree and apples grow off of it. I don't have a clue. But within that seed was the programming of that apple tree. It was already pre-programmed to be what it was supposed to be. The ground's responsibility was to receive it. Say receive. You ought to write that down. It's not everything we do very often from God. We give to God. We worship God. We serve God. We love God. We'll go to the ends of the world for God. We'll labor for God. It's always really one-sided. We're doing, 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 doing. How often do we just stop to become our particular operation? And God said, you know what? I'd be a lot better at this if I just become what you made me in the first place. I am the ground. What is my responsibility? If you're the sower, if the life is already locked within the seed, the image is in the seed, what's my job? The seed brings forth of itself. The ground didn't make that tree. The seed made that tree. The seed was just planted in that ground. Why does he got to plant it in you? Because this, believe it or not, you are who gives God authority to plant in the earth. When God wants to plant the heavens, he's going to plant it through you. He's going to plant it in you. If I am the ground, I exercise faith differently than the sower. The sower releases faith. What does the ground do? It receives, 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 receive, receive. Why don't we spend 90% of our time receiving something and 10% of our time doing something? Instead of 90% doing and never looking to God, I'll tell you why. We don't feel worthy to have his seed in our garden. We don't know who we are. We don't know we've been freely justified as heirs. Behold, what manner of love the Father's bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. If I'm called to receive, now let's take receiving, and now let's take it to mustard seed faith. Because the Bible says, now if you are the ground, if you as the ground have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, see that? Now how will you exercise faith if you're the ground? You're going to exercise faith to receive seed. Now, let's imagine for a moment, let's say I'm believing God for a ministry vehicle. Just use something tangible you can understand. If I am the ground, does God, where does he supply my need from? The Bible says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory, right? Now, if I'm the ground, what is the ground's responsibility? It receives what? Not the whole, but it receives the seed. So am I going to have the whole ministry vehicle planted into my garden? Could you imagine an entire apple tree planted down below the earth's surface? Like, yeah, we're going to bring forth an apple tree, so let's stick the whole thing down there. Dig me a hole 20 foot wide, 20 foot deep. Stick that tree down there. After all, it is your responsibility to give birth to that thing. You are called to receive it, so receive the whole thing. That's what we do. We get a call, like Mary. Could you imagine? She gets the promise of God. Hey, you're going to bring forth the Son of God. He's going to shift kingdoms. He's going to bring forth a new covenant. He's going to sit on his throne of his father's David. Could you imagine, Mary? How am I going to make that one happen? And oh, by the way, the power of God is going to overshadow you. The Holy Ghost. What? Could you imagine her going to tell Joseph? I am giving birth. She tried. Took an angel, had to go and tell him what was going on. She tried to tell him, look, the power of the highest has overshadowed me. I am pregnant from God. Joseph, woman. See, he's taking her to the deliverance session. He had to get an angel coming to Joseph. It's me. Trust me. Could you imagine how she's carrying? Now, how am I going to do all this? You're not. The seed in you is going to do it. See, that's what we do. We take on a false responsibility. We think we got to take the whole kingdom inside us. And all she had to do is get the seed in her. She was not responsible for shifting the kingdom. That seed was going to do that. She wasn't responsible. You got to understand what you're responsible for and what you're not responsible for. Because if you take on false responsibility, or you get in the realm of the sower, or you get in the realm of the seed, you're trying to exercise faith where it doesn't belong. I am not the seed, and I am not the sower. I don't even need to exercise faith. The seed has faith in itself. The sower had enough faith to put it in me. I just need to exercise faith for my part, and I am one-third of the process. I'm an important one-third. I come to God, I say, God, I am virgin soil. Another part of your process is you have to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it's going to flow the issues of life. You're going to have to keep your garden. Say, keep your garden. If I don't keep my garden, I'm not going to get a harvest. I got trouble. And we're trying to fix all our trouble. And then we're trying to have faith for God to fix all our trouble. How many of you ever tried to step into a realm of trouble to go fix the trouble, and you made the trouble worse? Now you got double trouble. Because you got involved. Sometimes when we get involved with our trouble, it makes it worse. And some things in this life you are not going to fix if you figured that out yet. The more you try, the worse it gets. Some things you're going to have to abandon yourself. You know what? I'm just one-third of this process. So what happens, we get in a situation, we have the whole responsibility. We don't understand the kingdom. How do I get God involved with that situation that I'm dealing with? How do I get God involved with my business? How do I get God involved with a ministry? How do I get God involved with revival? Seems like he's vacated most of the church in America. I mean, where is the revival? How do I get involved with my family? With situations, when I'm carrying all the burden. Here's some good news for you right here. You do not have to have faith to fix the problem. Say it again. You do not have to have faith. I wish I had more faith to get God to move. Here's another clue. God has already moved. Your answer has already been accomplished. You just got to get into his program, the way he does it. Rule number one, you can't do it without him. Rule number two, it's not by your might, not by your power, but by his spirit. Rule number three, find out your part in the equation. Rule number four, receive his promise for your situation. Here's the beautiful thing. I've got two major responsibilities if you're taking notes. As soil, as the garden, as virgin ground, I've got two responsibilities going to help you understand how heaven is going to get involved with everything in your life. If you have not passed rule number one and still think you can do it, well, you're going to go around the mountain for a while. How many has been around that mountain? Raise your hand. You will continue to go around that mountain as long as you think you can. So what is my responsibility? My responsibility is first to exercise faith as the grain of a seed. That's it. First, I'm going to receive his promise for that situation. Most of you are carrying a promise for your calling, carrying a promise for your destiny. You can receive a written promise from the Logos. You can receive a promise, a living promise, what's called a rhema word, which is the living word sown in you. Either way, it's coming as a seed for your situation. If we have a situation going on in family, the Bible says, great is the peace of our children. The Bible says, my children are like olive plants round about my table. My wife is a fruitful vine by the sides of my house. It's a good promise. Amen. Now, I received this just like Mary. What was her job? Receive. Here's the hardest part. We very rarely do it. Learn how to receive from heaven. Because he did say you're going to have to exercise faith as what? The grain of a mustard seed. You're going to have to exercise faith even if you are the ground. You're going to have to exercise faith to what? Receive. Faith to receive. Faith to receive. I have to get into receiving mode with God instead of doing mode, instead of fixing mode, instead of getting in the seed's job or getting in the sower's job. I need to get into receiving mode and figure out who I am. How do I receive? By faith. Well, you get in position with God. And you have promises like this. Ready? You that spared not your only son, how shall you not freely give me all things? Every good gift, every perfect gift, cometh down from above the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It's my Father's good pleasure to give me the kingdom. Does that sound like God's withholding something from you? My God is a sun and a shield. He gives grace and glory, and no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Now, that's just fact. That's truth. It's fact. So how come I can't get God to move on my situation? Because you're too busy being the sower. You're too busy being the seed. Some people just bypass the process altogether. I don't need that. I can do it. And some, when we get in trouble, we go to God and say, God, why? Don't you understand what I'm going through? Do you feel my pain? Do you know that I'm down here? I know sometimes that we believe we're the only one ever going through any of this. Anybody ever felt like that? I'm the only one. There is nobody else that's going through what I'm going through. This was just especially designed because there's something about me God doesn't like today. Those prayers don't get answered. You don't go to God like that. A lot of times our praying is prayers of complaint because we're not in God's process. We don't understand the way he does things. Therefore, because we don't know him, we don't know how to communicate with him. We go to him when we're in trouble. And we tell him all of our troubles. When Moses and the children of Israel, when they were in trouble, God didn't go to him like that. He went to God with his promises. God was hot. I mean, he was real hot. He had Moses on the mountain and they were making the golden calf. And he goes, just let me take them right now. God went to Moses. While you're in the mountain, my wrath is waxing hot. I'll take them all out. I'll make a brand new nation out of you. Just give me the word, Moses. Moses stopped and went down there and said, oh, I got to go back up the mountain. You people sin. Ground that calf into ashes and put it in water, made them all drink of it. Went back up to the mountain. You know what he did? They sinned, God. They sinned. He goes, but I'm reminding you of your promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm reminding you, God. Don't wipe them out. I'm reminding you, God. Stay with us. And you know what God said? All right. I'll send my angel before you. I'll take you into the promised land. I'll have my angel take you in there. I'll have him remove the Hittite, Gergesites, Jebusites, and all the other ites. My angel will go with you. How many of you would like that for the angel to go with you? I know. I used to say, God, send your angels. You know what he said to him? I'll send my angel, but I am not going with you. You see, he was up in the camp in his presence. He goes, I'm not going. I'll send my angel. I'll fulfill the word, Moses. That wasn't good enough for Moses. God was upset because, see, his tabernacles was pitched in the middle of the congregation. And Moses took that tabernacle and he put it way far away from the congregation because God's anger was still brewing even after his second level of intercession. He got God in one day to turn his wrath. Then he said, I'll send the angel, but I'm not going with you. To say, all right, Moses, I'll go with you. My presence will go with you, but I'm not going to be with them. Them are your people. That's what he said. He goes, they're not my people. They're your people, Moses. They're stiff-necked and they're yours. I'll go with you. My presence will be on you. I'm not going with them. He went back to him and got his presence on the whole nation. Got God to agree. I mean, all in 24 hours. Then he went back and got God to show him his glory, and he showed the glory to the entire nation. The ones that he wanted to wipe out within 24 hours, his showed his glory in the face of Moses to the entire nation. Is that intercession or what? And the Bible said he found grace. So our ground receives the promise. So how many of you carry the promise? That's one phase of it. What we need to do now is receive grace to fulfill the promise. But I'm still in receiving mode. I'm still the ground. I have his promise. And all I have to do, now here's the beautiful thing. I don't have to fix everything out here. I don't even have to produce the revival. I don't even have to believe for the whole revival. All I need is his living word in me. That's what I need. Amen. I don't have to get my body healed. I was talking to somebody the other day. They were believing God for healing in their body. I said, how do you think that's going to come? Well, I'm praying and God's going to drop that healing. He's going to heal my body. I said, no, that's not what he's going to do. They said, what? I'm believing God. I said, yeah, but you're believing God to transfer that healing directly to your body. He's not going to do that. Because you don't understand his process. Now, he might do that if you get in front of someone who's got power on their life. He'll take that power and heal you. But if you're going to believe God yourself for healing to come down from heaven, he's not going to drop the healing onto your body first. He said, when you stand praying, believe that you receive and you shall have. Those are two different things. What am I receiving? Well, thank God we are in receiving mode. Amen. What would happen to us if we spent more time receiving? What would happen if we started receiving? I received his promise. So I've got his promise, but I'm still in the same place Mary was. I've got a promise that something's going to birth through my loins, but I need something else. I need one more thing to make that promise come to pass. I need the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost because he's going to bring something. It is the Holy Grail of the kingdom of God. He's going to bring what Paul called it, the unspeakable gift. He's going to overshadow you with grace. Let us come therefore boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace. Why is grace so important? Grace is the oil. Grace is the catalyst that makes it all happen. It's the empowerment of heaven that drops down into that living word on the inside of you and causes that living word to come to pass. The reception of his grace causes all things to come to pass. It causes us to do something we could not otherwise have done. So when I'm standing for healing, what I am actually receiving is first his word. Then I believe I receive the grace to manifest His Word, to manifest His Word in my body, the first thing is going to happen is the grace is going to meet that Word, and that Word is going to manifest the healing in your body. He sent His Word to heal you. I'm going to get His promise for the circumstance I'm dealing with. Then I'm going to come back. How many of us get His promise and we still go try to work it out? Isn't that what Abraham did? Abraham, he got His promise first, didn't he? Your descendants are like the sand of the seashore. Abraham walking around, yeah, glory. And Sarah's womb will say, it's nothing doing. Not going to happen. So Abraham starts trying to cut a deal with God. Here's what we do. He gets his servant Eleazar. Hey, God, perfect heir right here. Eleazar. See how we do it? He's got a promise inside him, right? How is God going to fulfill that? He's going to fulfill that promise. But what's Abraham trying to do? Trying to help the promise out. See, we're getting in the seed's job now. See how he did? Now I'm going to go help the seed become the seed. I'm going to bypass the seed and make another seed. Eleazar, my servant, born in my house. Perfect. Look, he's in there. He's like, my son, God. He'll do. God said, no. He will not be your heir. What did God go back to? Promise. It's going to be born by promise. Abraham trying to sidestep the promise. He's still not done. You're not ready for grace until all your works are done. As long as you're still trying to work it out. Here's the one thing about grace. It's not going to show up where works is prevalent. If it be of works, it's not of grace. If it be of grace, it's no more works. Diametrically opposed to one another. You cannot receive grace if you're trying to work it out. It will block the grace. Those who are going to receive grace are the ones that know I can't do it. The ones that have known I've already done there, been there, done that, can't do it. Not going to happen. That's actually a good place to be. So what's he do next? Still ready. Sarah, Hagar, come here, Hagar. Sarah's bondmaid. Look, God is going to do this. He said, I'm going to have an heir. Sarah can't give birth. You're the one's going to give birth. Sarah and Abraham decided this together. And sure enough, he gave birth. And God had to fulfill His word. And it produced a nation that still hates Isaac. They're going to hate Isaac until Jesus' return. Ishmael comes out. He was 86 then. God said, all right, Abraham, look, I told you what was going to happen to Eleazar. I told you what was going to happen. And you keep trying to happen. It'll be 13 years before I show back up again. Have a good life. Anybody ever been put on the side of a mountain like that? Backside of a desert? God, where are you? Oh, I'm just waiting for what's in the way to get out of the way. I'll come back when you're out of the way. You're not ready for my grace. You still think you can produce that promise. You are trying to be the seed. You're trying to be the sower. Abraham was trying to be the sower. Was he not the sower? He was the sower. He got Hagar. He was the sower. He trying to find the seed. Hey, Eleazar, the seed. See how I'm talking about? You can do all of that. He said, Eleazar can be the seed. I'll be the sower. Abraham, you are the recipient of my promise. I am going to wait until everything's dead. Your birthing faculties are dead. Sarah's womb is dead. When everything's dead, I'll show back up. Then see how much you can help me out. See, sometimes when we're trying to get a promise fulfilled, there's too much of us involved. God said, I really only need you to be ground. I just need you to receive the promise, let me fulfill the promise, and wait until my grace shows up to fulfill the promise. Was this grace or not? God shows up at Abraham at 100 years old and says, okay, Abraham, we're ready. Heaven's ready. Heaven's ready. I'm 100 years old. Have you looked at Sarah lately? She is 90. 90. There is no birth going on here, God. He goes, oh, yeah, within a year, you're going to have a son. He laughed and she laughed. Mighty Abraham of faith, both of them laughing. God said, okay, I'll call his name Laughter, Isaac, to remind you, you laughed because you're ready for grace now. You're ready for something to produce that promise which you could not produce. You need his promise and you need his grace. I want you all to stand up for a minute. First thing I want you to do, we're going to surrender all of our trying. We're going to surrender all of our getting in the way. We're going to repent of that. We're going to receive the promise, which most of us have, and we're going to receive grace. I want you to be ground for the next 3 months. I want you to do one thing well. Be soil. Be ground. And receive, 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 receive. Even when you don't feel like receiving, receive. Believe that God will give it to you freely and he will do it. Stop trying to be the seed. Stop trying to be the sower. Just be ground. And don't have an earthquake every day with your emotions. I got a volatile earthquake up. Just shook the seed right out of the ground. Plant it again. Earthquake. Oh, God. Earthquake. Be settled. Be at rest. Just be ground. Can you just be some ground? Just stay there for a minute. Just stay there. Receive some water. Receive some sunlight. And rest. This is mustard seed faith. We got quick turnaround. If you'll quit earthquaking it out. Every time you get in fear, you shake the seed out. God said, all right, I'm going to plant it again. He has a whole lot more faith in you than you think. So today, Father, we ask forgiveness for trying to be the seed, for trying to be the sower, for trying to fix everything, for stepping on your shoes, the Holy Ghost shoes, the Lord's shoes, the Word shoes, the angel shoes. We're stepping on everybody's shoes. We step on our own shoes. Forgive us, Father. Forgive us. For not knowing our part. Forgive us for shaking the seed out. For not being patient. Having rest. Teach us, Holy Spirit. I want you to whisper this. Teach me. Just to receive. Just settle and receive. Receive your goodness. I receive the free gift, Father. I've received your seed, and I receive your unspeakable gift of grace. For they that receive the abundance of grace will reign in this life. Father, grant our garden grace, grace, and more grace. Grant our garden to do what only you can do. Teach us our part. Help us rest with a promise and help us receive the grace to fulfill it. Father, let your grace fill this congregation. Let your grace come over every situation and circumstance. And Father, let the grace of your manifest presence be with us. We don't want an angel leading us to the promised land. Father, we want your manifest presence in the person of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to be with our businesses, our ministries, our homes, our families, our bodies, our finances, to be with us. Let the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Amen, amen.